1-0 Montreal. Speeding down the right wing is Gallagher. Taking a look, Gallagher. Send it to Plekanec! And Plekanec scores! Knocked down by Beaulieu, who's on the move. Gallagher gives it to him. Beaulieu down the left wing. Sends it out front! Byron scores! Jágr hits Yandle in flight. His pass, though, goes off Huberto. 2-on-1. Radulov, left side, Radulov. Pacioretty scores! Max Pacioretty! Plekanec now back to the point. Davidson shoots it. They score! Gallagher! Tipped in front. 5-2 Montreal. 10 seconds left. Canadians grabbed a hold of this one right away. And after a year's absence, they will return to the postseason as they beat the Florida Panthers 6-2 at the Bell Center.
I could tell, you know, from the first game that, you know, we were still a little bit, nervous and edgy and all that stuff. Listen, it had nothing to do with any individual, but when a team loses a certain amount of games, those things happen. So somehow I had to find a way to get these guys back on track, and the only way to do that, and which gave me the opportunity as a new guy, was come in with a real good attitude, make them believe, talk about positive stuff, and so on and so forth.
Since the final buzzer went last year, this was what we made up our minds we had to do.
Well, isn't it nice to know that you'll have playoff hockey for at least another couple of weeks after the season ends, taking us through the month of April. Welcome back. It's the final day of March on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690, ahead of the celebration for Tim Raines at the Big O, part of which already took place. It was like a dress rehearsal last night at the Bell Center. The Montreal Canadiens have clinched a playoff spot. With Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, we're heading out to sunny Southern California to talk about it with Pierre Maguire.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
Excellent, Mitch. Congratulations to Jeff Molson, Mark Bergevin, Claude Julien, and the entire Montreal Canadiens organization. That's a very major step forward, especially in how difficult it is to make the playoffs in the National Hockey League.
Good thing you didn't make that bet with, who was it, Gord Miller? Who were you? Remember Leafs lunch? Remember you said it was going to be tight?
It was going to be tight. The fact that they beat, let's put it this way, the fact they beat Ottawa those three games, if they don't beat Ottawa, if they don't beat Ottawa, then where are you? It's going to be tight right to the end. So it was really well done by them. They controlled their own destiny because they took care of those three games.
What do you see right now where you are?
I see yachts, I see birds, and I see the ocean.
Yeah. Well, you've been there, Rod. I've been through San Diego, but, you know, haven't spent any time there.
The airport is so close to the city. You basically see palm trees the second you emerge from the airport. And
Pierre's playing the role of very proud dad right now, so let's get that out of the way, okay? Go ahead.
Well, they train today. I left Boston at 4:30 this morning. I got here about 2 hours ago. They're both trained today, and they race tomorrow. And if they qualify, they race again Sunday. But I'm leaving tomorrow, so I won't see anything. But they're in a pretty good spot right now, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Okay. And so you have two very highly successful young athletes in your family.
Very fortunate. They put the work in. We get to watch, so I live vicariously through them. I love it. Because they put the work in. If they didn't put the work in, I wouldn't be too pleased. But they love it, and they put the work in, so it makes me happy.
The Canadiens 6-2 winners over the Florida Panthers. But as you know by now, I'm sure you know by now, what has been making the news since last night, well after the game, are comments that Sean Thornton made about Alexei Yemelin, if you want me to. Basically, he's saying what Yemelin does and how he plays, it's what's wrong with the league these days. There's no accountability anymore. He said, although he's a pretty good defenseman, he has no respect for him because he doesn't fight, and he referred to him as an idiot, basically.
Well, first of all, Sean's a friend of mine. Second of all, I don't agree with everything that he said. Thirdly, I think if they were teammates, they'd probably be pals. Fourth, I respect every single man, and Sean should too. Any man that earns their living in the National Hockey League, I think you need to respect them. It's not an easy journey to get there. And whether I like them or not, I always respect them. And I think that one's a little bit over the edge for him because I've known Sean a long time and I really like him a lot. But I think there's a lot of frustration in some of what he was saying, and part of that goes back to when he played with the Bruins. And Yemlin and Lucic, I mean, that wasn't exactly a love affair, as you're well aware. And there were a lot of Boston guys that didn't like Alexi.
There's
and
a lot of guys around the league who don't like him.
Listen, I coached Dolph Samuelson, and I can tell you right now, I would say 90% of the players in the league didn't like him. But I would tell you one thing, they'd all love him on their team. If they had him on their team, they'd love him. So that's just the way it works. I mean, Nylund could tell you the same thing. Whoever would have thought Chris Nylund, after all the mayhem that he created and caused, would eventually be a Boston Bruin? I mean, come on. Give me a break. So stuff changes over time. But the one thing I'd say, the Florida Panthers, there have been two huge disappointments in the league this year, gigantic disappointments. Florida is one of them. They have taken significant step backwards. And, Mitch, I called the shot last summer. I told you they would. And the other one is Winnipeg. Those two teams have been major, major, major disappointments. So I think the players in both those cities are pretty angry.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point to remember. One of the things, I think almost everybody knows by now, that Alexei Yemelin was beaten up badly in Russia, had metal plates inserted into his face,
yep,
and was instructed by doctors not to expose it to knuckles. And I'll tell you what, he hasn't exchanged punches with many players over the years because of that. But one of the guys he did was with Zdeno Chara in Boston. He and Chara, yeah, went at it one night in Boston. And I think part of the frustration is Thornton's career is over, and he will leave the ice without getting an opportunity to punch out Alexi Yemelin.
There's a lot of good moments for him. You know, he's got Stanley Cups from Anaheim and a Stanley Cup from Boston. I mean, I'm not sure punching people in the face was going to determine his success of his career. The Stanley Cup, his name's on there forever. I understand the frustration part of it, but I don't think that's...
Do you believe that Alexi Yemelin, because of the way he fights and dishes it out, should be forced to respond to a challenge to fight?
I don't know about that. I don't know what's wrong with a clean hit. If it's clean and it's not dirty, then I think you should be okay. I mean, hitting's part of the game. The last I checked, it's more of a defensive tactic than anything else. You're trying to take away speed and force the other guy to think twice about skating with all kinds of pace. This doesn't always mean you're going to hit them. You might try, but you might miss them.
Pierre, you've been at NHL in NHL rinks on benches since the early 90s.
Yeah.
When did it start that a good back when I was when we were growing up at about the same time, you got hit, as long as it wasn't high, it wasn't dangerous, it was legal, you got hit, you took a number, and eventually you hit the guy who hit you. Now it's instantaneous. Somebody gets hit, it's legal, it looks bad.
Yeah.
Gloves are dropped and you go after the guy. When did that start?
I think probably mid-90s to late-90s, right in there. Just coaches came through the league and they thought that, you know, if you didn't have your team stand up for one another, then maybe you'd be in trouble with your general manager. It was cyclical and it just continued to be a cycle. But I probably started in the mid-90s to the late-90s as far as I remember. But, again, hitting is a defensive tactic. Now, if it's a dirty hit, that's different. That's completely different. I mean, an elbow to the face, a predatory elbow to the head, that's bad. I mean, that's not a good penalty. And there should be some vigilante justice on something like that. But a clean hard hit, when we grew up, one of the hardest hits we ever saw was Gary Dornhofer getting pulverized by Larry Robinson and breaking the boards in the Forum. Remember that, Mitch?
I sure do. And the Flyers were the Broad Street Bullies. But Robinson, nobody wanted to tangle with Larry.
No, but nobody went after him because they knew it was a clean hard hit. Now, if it would have been dirty, there would have been some repercussions at some point. But again, they knew it was Larry, so there was a little bit of a difference.
So what do the Canadians do other than obviously not take the foot off the pedal over the next five games here?
Well, I've been really impressed. Last night, I think, was one of their better games. I don't know if you agree or not, but they went after a wounded team, and they really planted a seed of doubt early. They played with serious tempo and pace. Gallagher, I thought, played one of his better games. Byron, obviously, was really good. I was really impressed with them. You know, Phillip, I thought, was really solid last night. But I would just keep building it, building up the systems, understanding the end zone's cover. They're going to have elite end zone coverage, and they're going to have to find ways to score more goals. Now, again, that's a wounded team that knows they're done now. They know they're out of the playoffs. So I wouldn't overhype it, but I would say that the end zone coverage and trying to find ways to score would be two things I'd be working on.
So third string goalie, team not making the playoffs. I mean, they weren't playing the Stanley Cup champions last night. So with that,
no, that's what I mean. Yeah. I wouldn't overhype it, but still, they did it. I'm happy for them. It's great.
Of course. Now, Brandon Gallagher is one of the guys who's really emerged the last week or so. Do you feel strongly that Gallagher, Byron, the guys that have provided some offensive support, do you think they'll be able to contribute at the same kind of level in the playoffs?
I think they will. It's going to be interesting, though, how teams decide to match up. Who are they going to go after from the Canadians? Do they see Radulov as being an important guy, or do they back off on him? I think Patrick is going to get a steady diet. And then I think one of Gallagher or Byron probably will. And probably more Gallagher than Byron, only because he'll push back. Scouts will see that Brendan will push back, and that will wear him out. That's what scouts will at least theorize. That'll wear him out over the course of a series. So they'll probably push back on him. But I can tell you, Patrick is going to get a steady diet. Whomever they play, he's going to get a steady diet of physical play.
So the first line broke out last night, looked really good with a couple goals. The Gallagher line, obviously Gallagher had 4 points in that game.
Yeah.
Pierre, if I was to bring up one concern, is that they're going to need Alex Galchenyuk in the playoffs to produce offensively, and right now he's lost in the shuffle.
You got to hope that he can get it going. You know, a lot of 2 weeks ago, people were worried about Brendan, too, and he's found a way to get it going. So maybe with this much time left in the season, that's why I made it the point to Mitch Melnyk, Mitch Gallo, that, you know, end zone coverage still got to be a real focus for this team, but they've got to find a way to score more. And one of the guys that has to do it is obviously Galchenyuk.
You know what I see, and things are rolling well, and they've clinched the playoff spot, so everything's, you know, it's a good vibe. But I see a guy who's frustrated. I see a guy who's a gifted offensive player whose ice has been cut. He's got a particular corner of the ice, and for a guy who handles the puck as well as he does, who is offensively dynamic, he has so much less ice to do his thing with now. How do you adjust to that and become a factor?
What a great question. I think the biggest thing is just start to take over the puck and dominate it. I watch Patrick Kane. Everybody tries to overplay on him, and how does he do it? He manhandles the puck. He decides how the coverage is going to respond to him because he just dictates the term because he owns the puck. Same thing with Panarin. Last night in the game that I was doing, I watched Marchand play, and same kind of deal with him. Everybody's after him, but he dominates the puck and finds a way to create space. That's what Galchenyuk's going to have to do, Mitch. He really is. That's the one thing that of all the good fortune I had coaching some amazing players over time, the really great players, they understood the concept of how to create time and space for themselves, and a lot of them did it just through dominating the puck. They really understood how to change speeds, how to carry the puck through different angles down the neutral zone. I mean, just the smartest players, the best players really understand those concepts.
My job is to fix things. So when a player is struggling, I try and fix it so he can be a better player. If the team's struggling, again, it's part of my responsibility. And when you don't succeed at that, that's when we end up moving around.
That's a pretty good description.
You know what? That's so well said. It's a great lesson for young guys that want to be coaches that are listening to this, or young guys that want to be in scouting or management. Anytime you get hired for any of these jobs, somebody got let go before you, so they're problems. Don't bash the people that were there before you. Acknowledge and embrace the fact that you have to be a problem solver. And how are you going to fix the problems? And that comes down to having a vision for understanding how you want your team to play, and then getting your players to accept and buy into the roles that you've created for them. So you are basically the ultimate problem solver, and that is really, really well said by Claude.
And he understands the importance of Galchenyuk to his offense, and you could see him talking to him during games on the bench.
No question. That, again, really, really strong point. He understands. He's been, hey, at the beginning of this year, he went through it with Bergeron. He did. He went through it, and Berge was worn out. Now look at, under Bruce Cassidy going into the game last night, Patrice Bergeron had played 21 games for Bruce Cassidy. He had 21 points in 21 games. Think about that.
Now, Galchenyuk is stuck on 2 shots over his last 5 games, and I know he's blessed with a lot of playmaking ability, but how do you, you know, get past frustration and convince him to get that puck in the net?
Well, we're always talking about it. You got to do this, you got to do that.
He doesn't have a playmaker.
Responsibility.
Pardon me?
He has to take some responsibility. Push himself. He's got to push himself.
He's
got to
be selfish. That's what he said. Andrew Shaw is doing the best he can. Andrew Shaw is not a playmaking centerman.
I think we talked about that when you asked me about that line. I said, that's not his thing. He's got to get back to the wing. But yes, you're right.
All right.
But you, in order to be that player, you got to want to take charge. You, it's not everybody else's fault. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror.
Miami's made some good saves, but look out.
Here comes Backes. Backes shoots, saved by Niemi. Pass across. They score! Marchand, number 38.
There's that goal that Pierre was talking about, where he was last night. They've won 3 in a row. Tuukka Rask, his last 2 games, made 27 last night. He looks to be in form his last 2 games again.
He was really on the angle strong last night. His angle play was exceptional. And Dallas got shut out, but I can tell you, they had some really good chances in that game. Tuukka was really solid. Boston forced so many turnovers. Dallas's management of the puck was atrocious through good parts of that game. But when they did control it, they created a ton of chances. I would say the biggest thing with the Bruins, they're starting to feel it now. They really are. Their depth players, I would just say Dominic Moore in particular, Riley Nash, they've been able to do a lot there. Those guys have been really coming along, and that's, I think, pretty exciting for Bruce Cassidy. Spent a lot of time with Bruce yesterday. Pretty excited about where his team is right now.
Pierre, it's interesting and a lot more fun in this area anyway to watch what's going on as teams that need to win are winning. The problem is they're running out of time.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. That's why we talk about the last 10 games all the time. You might win, but the other teams are also winning, and so you don't just win a game, you also lose. Because you're losing traction in the standings, you don't have any games left. That's the biggest problem for teams that are chasing, and you can't afford any kind of fumble. You just can't. That's the hardest part. And if you look at the Bruins' schedule, they have Florida going in there Saturday. Then they play a Chicago team that, if Chicago wins tonight against Columbus, I have to think they're going to start shutting guys down. So I don't know what kind of lineup they'll dress on Sunday in Chicago. So the Bruins could, you know, by this time, on Monday, could be in a spot where they're not stressed out anymore. And the rest of their games are all at home. They only have 1 road game Sunday in Chicago. So it's just, they're in a good spot. The team that's amazing to me is Carolina. I don't know how they're doing it. I give Billy Peters and Roddy Brind'Amour and Steve Smith so much credit. I don't know how that team's doing it, but they're winning games. It's just amazing how they're winning games.
13 straight games they've had at least a point, and you know they're still hanging around, but again, they've got too many teams in front of them. All right, so let's get to the Ottawa situation. The Leafs win in Nashville. Big win on the road. The Predators were 0-for-5 on the power play. Ottawa loses big to Minnesota, a team that had been kind of struggling, 5-1. All of a sudden, that lead is just 2 points, Ottawa over Toronto. People are getting the sense that maybe the Senators, and they lost Zach Smith last night, might be in some trouble here.
Yeah, you guys did it to them. That's why I was telling you before. It was either Montreal or Ottawa. One of the two teams was either going to take charge or they were going to stay the same, and then it was going to be a dogfight down the end. I think the 3 wins that Montreal had over Ottawa dented the psyche of the Ottawa Senators big time. I really do. You just see they're not the same team. Now, that doesn't mean they're not a good team, because I think they're a very good team. And I think if you play them in the playoffs, they have a real good chance to knock you off. They're a very good team, and I like their system a lot for the type of player that they have. But if Zach Smith's out for a long time, they have one piece of artillery that they could call up and start the clock ticking on them, and that's Colin White, their first-round pick out of Boston College, who just signed an ATO. He's a tremendous player, played for Team USA at the World Junior. He's been in 2 World Juniors. I would... If Zach Smith's out for a long time, I'd be absolutely shocked if Colin White didn't get a chance to go up and play, and that could really help Ottawa because he would bring some really good enthusiasm to their group.
What are the chances Canadians celebrate a playoff appearance in South Beach tonight? I would. As Campbell mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, if they take care of business in time, they got time to, you know, let her rip in Florida, right, Gallo? Didn't he say that?
But you know where they play. They're not down by Miami. They'll be in Lauderdale, so they won't be in South Beach. They'll be in Lauderdale.
it's not that far. I know guys who've taken. I've known guys who broke curfew and went to South Beach. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, let's put it this way then. If you're going to bring that up, it didn't work well for the New York Giants. Let's put it that way. You know what I'm talking
well,
about?
As long as
on the boat.
No
on the boat. As long as there's no yachts involved, they're fine. I think they're fine. Have a great weekend. All the best to the family, Pierre. It was great. Thanks for the picture.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. I appreciate it so much. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, very satisfying. We knew we could do it. There wasn't any doubt when we came to training camp at the start of the season that we'd be in the playoffs.
Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like.